Well, this morning's sermon is going to be part of our launch into our 21 days of prayer effort that starts today. We're going to focus in on prayer here this morning. I've done one thing a little bit different than I normally do in this sermon that I want to explain. I don't often do a ton of in regards to having us look at quotes about the Christian life from other Christians. Sometimes we do that, but you know by now that I'm a lot more interested in having us look at what the Bible says about the Christian life, because the Bible is our authority. However, that doesn't mean that we can't learn anything from other Christians and those who have walked this path before us. Certainly the Holy Spirit is alive and genuine Christ followers still today. And so we do want to listen now and then to what others have to say. And so we're going to do that this morning. In addition to content from the Bible, I'm going to mix in a bunch of quotes about prayer from Christians. Thought that might be kind of different and fun to do, so I've done it, and hopefully it'll be meaningful to you. I don't know that this is the most structured sermon I've ever given to you. In a lot of ways, it's kind of just a smattering of ideas and thoughts about prayer that I wanted to bring forward, and my purpose in this talk is to try to help you find motivation to pray. Whether you're a long-time praying person and you could just use a burst of energy in your prayer life, or maybe you're someone who's never really sought to carve out time in your daily life for prayer, my aim is that these thoughts and words today will spur you on to pray. I'm hoping the sermon will compel you to come back at 6:30 tonight for our worship and prayer service, but far more important, I hope that this sermon will help move you into fashioning a lifelong commitment to talking to God. Does prayer make a difference? We wonder that from time to time, don't we? Well, I want to start out this morning's sermon with the story that I used to end my last sermon to you on Christmas Eve morning. We listened to an actual miracle. I'll catch you up because some of you won't have been here. I was first made aware of this, the story of this healing miracle that God did for a man named Dwayne Miller from reading a book called The Case for Miracles by Lee Strobel. Lee Strobel is an award-winning journalist and former legal editor for the Chicago Tribune, and he went on a quest to look into the claims that we hear now and then these days of a miracle having taken place. He wanted to see if there was actual evidence to back up those claims. And the book is of great encouragement to any Christ follower who maybe hasn't seen as many acts of obvious power from God as they would have liked to have seen in their lives, because it turns out there is a ton of very strong evidence out there that God is still in the miracle business today. So we looked in my last sermon to you at just one of the many stories in that book, the healing of a former pastor named Dwayne Miller. And the reason he was a former pastor is because he lost his voice. Like, he really lost it. He got a flu virus that the doctors told him later destroyed the nerves of his vocal cords. His voice was permanently reduced to a raspy whisper. It's tough to be a pastor when you can't speak well. Over 3 years, Dwayne Miller says he was examined by 63 physicians, and his case was even taken on by a Swiss symposium of the world's leading throat specialists, and they told him that his chance for recovery was zero. Well, one day, the adult Sunday school class at his old church asked him to come and teach them, agreeing to put up with the grating sound of his voice because they love the guy, and they said they had a special microphone for him, and so he reluctantly agreed to come and teach. Now, I know most of you have heard this story already, but let me, for those who haven't, let me just read a little bit from Strobel's book on what happened at that Sunday school class. Strobel writes, "Ironically, the text for Miller's lesson that day was Psalm 103, where the third verse reads, 'God heals all your diseases.'" And I think that's really key to this story, what Miller was talking about at that moment. He went on to the next verse, which says, the Lord redeems your life from the pit. And as soon as he said the word pit, the choking sensation disappeared. For the first time in 3 years, I could breathe freely, he recalled. I heard a gasp from the crowd, and that's when I too realized my voice had come back. I could hear myself. And his stunned audience began to clap and cheer, shout and laugh. His wife, Jolene, broke down in tears. There are doctors on record saying that they not only couldn't understand how Miller's vocal cords could heal from the state they had been in, but that they were also shocked that those vocal cords didn't even display any scar tissue any longer. So Dwayne Miller became a pastor again, praise the Lord. And one of the best parts of this is that the Sunday school class that morning happened to record the lesson. And it's all caught on tape. It's on the internet. We listened to it in my sermon 2 weeks ago, and it was awesome, wasn't it? If you missed hearing it, I very much suggest that you go to our church website, and you can find it other places too, but you can go to our church website and find the sermon for December 24, 2023, Christmas Eve morning, and click on that. You'll find the recording of that Sunday school class near the end of my sermon. Make sure you get to the very beginning of that clip that I played, though, because it's worth listening to. Well, why do I bring that story up again here today? Obviously, people prayed for Dwayne Miller prior to his healing. Now, I don't know if anyone was praying for healing for him that morning where it happened, but I'm sure we can say without a shadow of a doubt that many people prayed for Pastor Miller over the 3 years that his vocal cords were trashed. At the minimum, we know Mr. Miller and Mrs. Miller would have prayed, right? These are Christian believers. They would have been praying about this. For 3 years, there seemed to be no answer. And then all of a sudden, there was an answer. My opening question today was, does prayer make a difference? And well, this would be a story that would say, yes, makes a difference. You know, maybe even the Millers in some of their weaker moments during those 3 years wondered occasionally if those prayers were making any difference, right? And then, boom, they got the answer to the question. And you know, I think I'll go ahead and repeat something else I said in that sermon too, after we listened to the recording of the healing. I said, this stuff will drive you crazy though, because, you know, even when Jesus and the apostles were healing people left and right, there were still others out there they didn't heal, right? And even the ones that they did heal, we have to assume those people eventually got sick and died. So these were just temporary healings. In this world, we're all going to eventually get sick and die unless Jesus comes again before then. So we can be certain that at least some of our prayers for healing are not going to be answered in the way we want here. Our hope is in heaven. But then you have those stories like this one we just heard about Dwayne Miller. Pretty clear-cut healing, miraculous work of God there. And it's just a mystery, isn't it, why God heals sometimes and why he doesn't at other times? In fact, that's exactly what Pastor Miller was teaching about in that Sunday school class that he got healed in. I went back to the audio recording myself yesterday. Here's what he was teaching. He said, to say that every single person will always be healed is a misinterpretation of Scripture. On the other hand, to say that since we don't have anything after the book of Acts, that miracles ended at the book of Acts, that's equally wrong. Because you've put God in a box both ways, and God doesn't want to be in the box. Miller continued saying, so the psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul. One of his benefits is that he heals all my diseases. And then in verse 4, he says, and he redeems my life from the pit. And that's when you hear his voice going from to just normal. Gradually over the next few sentences. So even Miller was saying that sometimes God heals, sometimes he doesn't. We just have to trust God on the whys behind all of that. Here's an important question, though. Would Dwayne Miller have been healed if no one had prayed for him? I kind of think the answer to that is no. So we probably should pray. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I'll see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me.'" That's Luke chapter 18. And Jesus taught there for us to be like that persistent widow and keep on praying for the things that we're hoping for. Now, there might be many good reasons for the God of the universe not to answer even our persistent prayers in the way that we hope. In fact, a no answer might sometimes be the best thing for us. English poet Jean Ingelow once said, "I have lived to thank God that not all my prayers have been answered." Sometimes a no answer is the right answer for us. But God invites us to pray to him and to keep on praying. Our prayers can make a difference, so don't give up. Oz Guinness once wrote, "The story of Christian Reformation, Revival, and Renaissance underscores that the darkest hour is often just before the dawn. So we should always be people of hope and prayer, not gloom and defeatism. God, the Holy Spirit, can turn the situation around in 5 minutes. Don't give up praying." In that Christmas Eve service, Christmas Eve morning service a couple weeks ago, I spoke about how God has given us the freedom to choose evil or good, or as it said in Deuteronomy, to choose life or death. So our choices for good or evil matter. We have a role to play in making the earth either a worse place or a better place. And I think our choices of whether we pray or not fit into that. Here are some more good quotes for you on that subject. Pastor and lawyer E.M. Bounds said that God shapes the world by prayer. The more praying there is in the world, the better the world will be, and the mightier the forces against evil. Missionary Hudson Taylor said, "It is possible to move men through God by prayer alone." Similarly, J. Sidlow Baxter wrote, "Men may spurn our appeals, they may reject our message, oppose our arguments, despise our persons, but they're helpless against our prayers." And then for a modern day quote, here's Beth Moore. She says, "There are parts of our calling, works of the Holy Spirit and defeats of the darkness that will come no other way than through furious, fervent, faith-filled, unceasing prayer." Prayer is an important factor in how the world turns out. It makes a difference. So pray. Okay, so far we've been talking about big things that prayer might have an effect on, like the healing of disease or, you know, changing the world. But there are some more everyday type ways in which prayer can make a difference as well. I've told you many times here about one of the most common ways I have experienced God at work when I pray. I'll hit a day where I'm all stressed out about something or distressed about something. I don't know how to handle a certain situation, or I'm anxious about some matter, and so I go to God in prayer. I can't tell you how many times in my life when I've gone to prayer in a situation like that, and as I sit and I pray and I listen for God to speak, my mind will find its way to thoughts that help. Or perhaps those thoughts find their way into my mind. Oftentimes, helpful Bible verses that I've read in the past wander into my head, and I'll be like, yes. Or I'll think of a biblical principle that I knew before but needed to be reminded about on that day, and these things will move me into having a right mindset in regards to that thing I'm stressed about. I often leave those prayer times feeling like I have a game plan now. I know how to act. So I go into that prayer time in turmoil, but I leave the prayer time in greater with greater peace. And I truly believe the Holy Spirit is involved in that. Mother Teresa once said that God speaks in the silence of the heart. Sometimes what we need to do more than anything else is just sit in prayer and be quiet and allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. So yeah, prayer can bring us back into peace. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7 implores us to not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So yeah, prayer can turn our day around. Charles Stanley said, we could be tired and weary and emotionally distraught, but after spending time alone with God, we find that he injects into our bodies energy, power, and strength. You know, prayer can not only get us back on track, but it also can keep us from getting off track in the first place. Here's author Cynthia Lewis. She says, if your day is hemmed in with prayer, it's less likely to come unraveled. Oh, and there's more that prayer can do for us. Prayer can not only help us with individual situations that are stressing us out, but I believe that the collective effort of prayer over the years can mature us, spiritually speaking. You know, think about that. Think about this. If we would regularly obey Jesus' command to pray for our enemies, don't you think that eventually that will start to alter how we think about the world, how we think about people? Prayer means spending more time with the Holy Spirit, and the Bible has promised that the more we do that, the more we will display characteristics like these in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. God will mature us the more we pray. You know, sometimes you hear quotes that suggest that prayer is only about changing the prayer. And I don't really believe that. We've already talked here now about how I think prayer can have an effect on things outside of us. However, I do believe that prayer does change the prayer. Here's R.C. Sproul, who writes, prayer does change things, all kinds of things, but the most important thing it changes is us. As we engage in this communion with God more deeply and come to know the one with whom we are speaking more intimately, that growing knowledge of God reveals to us all the more brilliantly who we are and our need to change in conformity to him. Prayer changes us profoundly. Prayer can mature us. So often it's the love of God that leads to interchange like that. Prayer is also a place where we can go to receive that love and feel that love. We're reminded by God of his love for us when we sit with him in prayer. Christian author Steve Brown writes, not being changed by prayer is sort of like standing in the middle of a spring rain without getting wet. It's hard to stand in the center of God's acceptance and love without getting it all over you. I like that one. And then we could put it in older, more flowery language. Here are the words of 19th century French priest St. John Vianney. He says, prayer is the inner bath of love into which the soul plunges itself. Sometimes we just need to sit and be loved by God. Prayer is also where we get right with God in the first place in regards to our sin, a vital piece of our salvation. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John 1:9. We do that in prayer, don't we? Salvation from sin is found in the restored relationship with God. I believe that. It's in the relationship with the life giver that we're saved. And that was a relationship that got messed up by sin, right? But it can be fixed through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, followed by our belief and repentance. Okay, so if salvation is found in the relationship with God, then shouldn't prayer be a really big part of the Christian life? Is there a restored relationship with God if we don't ever talk to him? We know this from the reading of our reading of the Bible, right? That God desires our hearts. He desires our time. Prayer is one of the ways in which we give God our hearts and our time. St. Augustine once said that whether we realize it or not, prayer is the encounter of God's thirst with ours. God thirsts that we may thirst for him. God thirsts for us to thirst for him. He wants a relationship with us. Prayer is the place where these things meet. Georges Bernanos wrote that the wish to pray is a prayer in itself. When we desire to pray, God sees that in our heart, and that pleases him. And then Teresa of Avila, who said, prayer is nothing else than being on terms of friendship with God. Foundation of a Christian life is the relationship with God, and relationships are based on conversation and communication. Prayer is something that needs to be part of our lives. You saw a video on prayer here last Sunday that said at one point that prayer is more important than anything else on our task list, and I'd agree with that. Okay, so prayer is a conversation with God, part of our relationship with him. You know, when I pray, I'll confess, I really want God to respond to me like other humans respond to me. I want him to talk back to me, right? Don't you? I want to hear his voice in my ears or in my head. I've told you in the past, I've had a couple of times where I felt that God spoke actual words to me in my head. And one of those experiences was followed immediately by a phone call I received that was exactly in line with what the words had said. That was awesome. I want that to happen all the time. It's not my normal experience in prayer. And again, I'm just talking about my experience. You know, yours may be different. But my normal experience is silence. I don't know about you. I've been working lately on releasing God from my expectations on how he should respond to me. Coming to the realization that I need to stop being disappointed when I don't hear something audibly. That I need to let God be God. Because, you know, God has responded to my prayers in many other ways than a voice in the past. I explained earlier today how these Bible verses and Bible principles that I need to be reminded of for a certain situation will come into my mind when I pray. That's an answer. I've felt God's love and forgiveness while in prayer. God has mightily answered some prayers of mine through changes in life circumstances. He's worked through the words of other people at just the right moments. God's answered prayers of mine through provision that has shown up just when it was needed. So I'm learning that I need to let God answer in the way he chooses to answer. He just doesn't always talk like we are used to talking with other people. But he does answer. It is a two-way relationship, and I need to trust him in the silence. Of course, I know I'm not the only one in the building today who's seen answers to prayer like the ones I just described. And collectively, we've seen answers to prayer in our congregation over the years. I know that many of you have your own stories of how you've seen God answer prayers. As we get towards the close of my sermon here, why don't we finish up with another story from Lee Strobel's Case for Miracles book. We originally looked at this book back in 2022 when I was doing a sermon series on Acts, and we were asking in that series if miracles still happen today. It's a similar question to our question for today. Does prayer make a difference? And I took you through back then a number of the stories from this book, all medically verified. There was a story of a deaf girl who was able to hear after prayers were offered for her. There was a story of a woman with severe MS who had reached the end and been put on hospice, and then a call for prayer went out over Moody Bible Institute's radio, and all of a sudden her body did a 180 and she fully recovered. We looked at a few other stories. Here's one we didn't cover back then, and I'll read it to you as it's written in the book. Strobel writes, Ed Wilkinson's education in neuropsychology had convinced him that people who rely on faith to cure their ills are merely using religion as a neurosis to avoid dealing with reality. But then in November of 1984, his 8-year-old son, Brad, was diagnosed with 2 holes in his heart. The condition was also impairing his lungs. Surgery was scheduled. As the surgery got closer, Brad started giving his toys away, not expecting that he would survive. And one day he asked his dad, "Am I going to die?" His dad told him that not everyone who has heart surgery dies, but it can happen. And then his son asked, "Can Jesus heal me?" His father, aware of how often faith is abused, said, "I'll get back to you on that." And a few days later, after some anguished prayers and Bible reading, Ed told him that God does heal, but whether or not he would, in Brad's case, they still had hope of eternal life in Jesus. After that conversation, a visiting pastor asked Brad, "Do you believe that Jesus can heal you?" Brad said yes, and the minister prayed for him. Before surgery at the University of Missouri's hospital in Columbia, Missouri, tests confirmed that nothing had changed with Brad's condition. The following morning, Brad was taken in for his operation, which was expected to last 4 hours. But after just an hour, the surgeon summoned Ed and showed him 2 films. The first film, taken just the day before, showed blood leaking from one heart chamber to another. The second film, taken just as surgery started, showed a wall of some sort where the leak had been. The surgeon said there was nothing wrong with Brad's heart, even though the holes were clearly visible the day before. The hospital risk manager said firmly, "You can see the films. This was not a misdiagnosis." The pulmonologist added, "Somebody somewhere must have been praying." Today, Brad's in his 40s with a business and children of his own. He's never had any heart problems since his healing. Prayer makes a difference. Maybe some of you out there don't pray because it feels awkward to you. You know, you don't need to be good at it. Look at these words from the Apostle Paul from Romans 8. He says, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, so the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans." So even groans offered in prayer, God's going to understand them. And really, it's his power in prayer, right? It's not ours. We don't have to worry about being good at praying. Guys, do you feel like prayer is feminine? Not masculine enough for you? Does that keep you from doing it? Well, look at this direction from the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 2. He says, "I want the men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or disputing." Prayer is for men. Tough guys. Bald guys. Guys with tattoos. Prayer's for men. Just do it, guys. Author Peter Kreeft writes, "The single most important piece of advice about prayer is one word: begin." So, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Matthew 6. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Ephesians 6. 1 Thessalonians 5 commands us to rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And Calvary, the Lord will be near to all who call on his name. Let's be people who are committed to praying to our God and Savior. Whether we're in that zone where he is obviously answering our prayers or whether we're in that zone where we're mostly getting silence, let's stay committed to prayer. Let's re-energize our prayer lives tonight in the new year and throughout our lives, because prayer makes a difference.